Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Heaven Land Devotions, or else otherwise known as a little green pasture by many of us that dwell here. Well, I had a dream last night that I really feel that it must be shared. And also, my husband had a dream last night also. So that will be shared today too. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to tell the dream. Dearest Lord Jesus, I come before you, your humble vessel, Lord, in sincerity and love towards you. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the telling of this dream by things that are approved of you. Guide me in the path, guide me in the way. And by all means, Lord, I pray that you embody this message, these dreams, and the words that will be spoken as I'm prompted by you, by your Holy Spirit. Unto God be the praise and glory, unto that wonderful name, Jesus, the Lamb of God, omnipotent. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to get right to it. The dream began in what was an office building, the kind that you walk down hallways and there's doors on either side. And the man that's with me in many of my dreams was walking with me and we were talking, but I don't know what we were talking about. We were just talking as we were walking and it was quick. All of a sudden, he stopped. So I stop and there's a door before us. And he looks at the door and he looks at me and he motions to me to go through the door. So I go through the door. I open it and I shut it. And I went in, and you know how this is a material world, like you see walls, a ceiling, floor, furniture. What I walked into was vast. It was like an open void. And there was nothing that you could touch. It was just this vast open void. And I knew I was standing on something firm because I was standing, but yet I couldn't see a floor, but yet I'm standing there. And I'm like looking around and I don't see anything. And all of a sudden, to my right, I see an evil spirit. And he appeared absolutely ferocious and terrifying. And the while he and I'll describe how he looked because it's important. I just stood there. I wasn't moved by it. I was at peace. And I see this thing come out of nowhere, materialize in front of me, or pretty much in front of me to my right side. And he had a human shape, but he had a very wide body. And he had arms that were much, much longer than any human arms, because he's not human, obviously. I'm talking about proportion. And he was just wide and fully muscular. And he only wore a loincloth of some kind. And he was beast-like. And he was rippled with muscle. And he had, like I said, these giant arms. You know, like how you see a crab, how they have these ridiculously enormous looking arms that stick out, and all the power is in their claws. And I saw that all that power was in these big arms, and they were twice the size of what his body should be. So it was highly emphasized. And I looked at his arms, and he was bald. He was hideous looking. He had these muscular legs. And his arms were out like this. And in one hand, he was holding a big, sharp-looking sword because I looked at the sword and it obviously was very sharp-looking. And the other hand held a shield. And so when he did that, I'm not, so not when he did that, I'm getting to what he just did. So I'm looking at him and he opens his mouth wide. As wide as he can make it, and he lets out this hideous war cry. And it was obviously a spirit. So we're not talking about anything where, I'm doing the best I can to relate it. So pardon me if I go back and forth a little bit because I'm trying to describe what I'm seeing to the best of my ability. So when he opened his mouth, he was looking at me and his eyes were black, his teeth were showing, even though his mouth was wide open, and this roar came out of him. It was not anything earthly. And you know how we have lungs because we're material, we're in this body, this corporal body. So when we take in a full deep breath, we can only yell so long, right? We'll have to take another breath. When he roared, a roar was coming out of his mouth, looking at me, that went on for like 5 or 6 seconds long, if I would put time on it. And I just stood there like it was this wrathful roar, and it was another earthly roaring sound. And when he did that, right then, my mouth opened up, and I felt as I mean, in my mouth is opening wide, and I felt no, first the power, I felt power come into me, and then my mouth opened up wide, and this sound came out of me. A roar came out of me where I roared back with like a roar came out of me, and the power was, I felt like Samson. Like if I would think how Samson must have felt, there's power came in of where I just roared back at him. But it wasn't me. Like it was God in me. It was God's power in me that was coming out of me. And it was a roar. And it was in a voice that was God. It was God. And it was roaring back at him. And it was coming out for like that same amount of time. Like there's no way humanly anybody can roar like that. I don't want to even use the word like yell or scream because that would be to humanize it. But it came out with a powerful voice from above, but it was in me and it was roaring back. And I know that when that was happening, in that moment in my dream, I was like watching myself. So even though I was fully in my body in the dream, I was standing there looking at me and looking at him. And it was in the spirit because I looked at my body and my body was like kind of luminescent and transparent. There was like this shine, like all like as it would trace my body. It was like a thick glow around me. And I looked at my face, and though I looked like me, I looked at that thing and my face changed. Like my eyes were bulging, like not like you would see somebody's eyes bulging on earth, but they were bulging with power, like with a fierceness, like God was manifesting to this thing himself within me to it. And then that thing faced me off, and I faced it off. And when men do that, I'm going to humanize it a little bit because I'm giving you a picture. When two warriors come together and they seem to be of equal power and force, they move in a circle like this because they're testing and they're seeing what the other one is worth or what will happen. And all of a sudden, that thing started to move like this. And it was looking at me like this, but it was so ugly. And I was full of power. And I like, you know how men do, like they kind of bend their knee and they put their feet apart. And I put my hands out like this, and I was tracking with it, and my eyes and my face. And I'm thinking about this scripture because it so depicts it. If I were to put a scripture on it, it says in First Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 11, and it said, I don't know the exact verse, but I remember it said, when the men of Israel separated themselves unto David's stronghold, into Ziklag and his stronghold, it said their faces were as bold as a lion and their feet as swift as a gazelle. and they were expert with every weapon in their right hand and in their left, but I had no weapon. And this thing was twice my size with these long arms and this huge sword and a shield. And I'm just, and we're doing this, but I was looking at it with the absolute knowing that it was God in me. This potent force of power was looking through my eyes at it. And then at one point I stopped and I looked up and my mouth opened again and this sound came out of me. And I said with, to say, to yell, to say, to scream, to say with a loud voice, it was nothing like that. I opened up my mouth and I with a force of, because see, it wasn't just with wind. This is in the spirit, but a force of power came out of me. And it was, and this is what came out of my mouth in this loud kind of almost thundering, Jesus. And when I, with his name, without a breath, like you just saw me do, no human can put no voice on earth. I don't care if the person is a professional singer. I don't care if it's a man that's a big man and has lungs. There's no human way. And it, that name came forth out of my mouth and it was echoing and it was long. I mean, it wasn't Jesus. It was like Jesus. Now picture is not even really my voice, but yet it was my voice, but it wasn't, but it was it that voice, I'll say, coming out of me. And I was looking up and it was just coming out of me, that name, Jesus. And when I, when it stopped, I looked at that thing and all of a sudden that evil spirit turned into an enormous lion. That was, I don't care, you can pick the biggest lion on earth that looked puny next to it. And I saw that thing turn into a lion, and then it opened up its mouth as wide as it could, and that thing roared back while I stood there, and it roared like for 10 seconds, and not even any lion with the strongest body and lungs can roar like that. And it was a, another kind of roar. And while that's happening, I'm looking at it and I'm seeing it because it's a spirit. And these, that even that evil spirit that I saw was more beast-like. But when I saw that lion, that thing that roared against that roar of the name of Jesus, it became kind of transparent, but it was evil. It did. I think the whole thing is painting its own self. You can come to interpretation on your own. And as soon as that happened, he was done roaring and he stood there looking at me with these awful piercing eyes. And right before me appeared an ocean. And I looked down at the ocean and I looked back at it. And it was a look that came on my face that was like, watch me now, what I'll do. And my face was like bold, like a lion, and my eyes were bulging with power. It was a look I can't describe, but it was a different form on my face. And I looked at it and I said, I didn't say a word to it, but I looked at it. I looked at the ocean and I looked at him and I knew, like, let me demonstrate something to you. And I jumped with 2 feet into the ocean. And as I was sinking down, I was looking up the whole time and it was looking down at me. So I could make sure to let it see, do you see me? And then I, you know, light from the surface goes about 600 feet down into the ocean and then it becomes dark. But I went, like, I felt this power to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the entire time that I was sinking deeper and deeper, I wanted to go deeper. I wanted to go deeper. Like, I wanted it to see me. Look how deep I can go. Watch me. And it was watching me. And I could see, you know, when I first jumped in, I could see its face. that enemy's face. Like he did not expect that. He did not understand what was happening. Yet we were looking at each other, him up there and me sinking down. And I was looking at him like, see what's out, see, look at me. Not even just look at me. It was like, watch what I watch. It was hard to put into words because it's not about me, you see. It's about God. It's about Jesus Christ and the absolute face off of two kingdoms. And I wanted to go all the way down, and I went down to where it was totally dark, but yet I could still see. And as I went down deeper and deeper and deeper, the lion got smaller and smaller and smaller. And when I got down to the bottom, it was like my feet just went boom, and I stood there and I looked up like, see me, see this. And then as soon as I knew that he saw it, immediately by my own will, I rose to the top. And I was standing where I was before, and the lion was gone. And there was no more sea. And there was this void vastness. I left the room and I shut the door. And as I shut the door, and I could see the man waiting for me. And I don't know really what this means, but the door was solid when I first went in, but when I came out, there was a window on the door, a big window, and it was cut in half. I mean, it was one pane of glass, but one side was white light and the other side was black blackness. And over that window, you know how businesses put those cardboard clocks with the little hands? And I looked. And I saw that the hands were both upright at midnight. And above it, I saw the words written, "Be back soon." I woke up. It was 1:06. I went out and I stood in my living room and I had a prayer like I hadn't prayed in a long time. And I made a declaration in heaven from on earth below. And I stood there and I said, let it be known in heaven above. Let it be known on earth below that I am Jesus's Joan. I am purchased by the blood of the Lamb, and I serve and obey only him and his commands. And I sat down and prayed. And it was very difficult to read my Bible because I was still had that power within me. Then Jonathan got up and he didn't, he was kind of like walking around. I'm like, he goes, I go, John, I had a dream. And he goes, I had a dream too. And so John sat down and he said, listen to my dream because I've been in the power of the Holy Spirit for 4 hours. He said, in my dream, I saw myself walking into this big classroom, the kind that universities have that have like theater seating. And a big platform in the front. And he said, I noticed that it was a packed house. It was all full. And I walked down and I was down there. And on the platform was a row of ministers, church leaders that he had known in life to be everything by the book. They were very dry. Just that classic, everything has to be, have a certificate. You're not allowed to speak if you haven't had a rubber stamp of seminary approval. If you have not, you know what I mean? Like it was just, I mean, and so they sat on these chairs in a row, he said, and they were in comfortable chairs. And he said, I was down there at the bottom and I turned, and everybody's just sitting there in this classroom style setting. And I see one person, and I look down at this person because they looked sad. And I stretch my hand to that person, and I said, can I pray for you? And that person nodded yes. He said, and I prayed for that person, and that person, their countenance changed. And then he said, he went to another person and to another person. He did this to a few people. He said, until all the people rose up and everybody began to start singing. He said, next thing you know, everybody was, there was prayer. He goes, but the whole place was singing. He goes, and when that happened, those ministers up at the front who are, have been known to be just that classic dead, they symbolize the dead church, the dead, lukewarm, comfortable ministries that are comfortable and no one else's. You know, they just, I think that it serves your, I don't need to describe it. I don't want to do that because you know what that picture means. He said at that point, he said, and John said, I felt the power move out like this. It just moved out. He said, like a wind going over all the people. And he said, just then those dead lukewarm ministers got off of their chairs and came down to the people. And then next thing you know, they were like, they came alive. And then they started praying for everybody. And he said the whole place was so full of power. And everybody's countenance was changing. And everybody was singing. And he said it was so powerful. So, you know, John and I were so amazed, and the power of the Holy Spirit was so thick in our living room today, and we were in awe. You know, it is evident that we are entering into a powerful, most powerful time in church history, and God is moving among all of those, not just me, that love his appearing, those who have been faithful to him, those who have been staying close to him. He is moving. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I thought about John's dream, you know, those lukewarm people, ministers that we're all aware of, and they're everywhere. They fill up a 10,000s of churches all over. Now, I'm not talking about some all of a sudden explosive revival. I don't believe that's what it meant. But what I saw in that is even those that have been cold, that have been dead, that have been locked into the system, into having no freedom in the Spirit, or maybe never they even tasted the Spirit of God before, and maybe they never experienced the moving of power of the Holy Spirit. But that showed me many will be woken up. Many will. I know this is the great apostasy, so I'm not saying there. I don't believe that there's going to be some big, great revival at the end. I believe in a big, great revival in chapter 7 of Revelation. But I do believe God showed me. Let us have patience and let us remember that it is God that has power, not us. It is his power that moves through us, just like in my dream. I didn't have any weapons. I didn't have a weapon. I just stood there. But it was Jesus's name, the name that is above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true and living God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, that just one. And that showed me that that roar that came out of me from heaven, I thought later on about that lion who roared back. And I thought, notice he disappeared. And I believe my going down, down, down to the depths was when I looked back and reflected on it for the last several hours before I'm here now, was to say, well, it was a demonstration to him, like, watch what I can do. Because see, at that point, I was so full of power, like Samson carrying away the gates on his shoulder. Or all the demonstrations of supernatural power in his people. And I believe that when I jumped into that water, it was to say, as if the Lord was saying to Satan, watch, watch this now. And you know, I think of my feet when they went boom and touched the bottom of the sea. I think of that blessing that Jacob gave to Asher. He says, thy shoes shall be as the shoes of brass. And as the day is, so shall thy strength be. And you know what the shoes of brass mean? The most strong, powerful footing. That is the footing of that really spoke to me in that dream. Unmovable, unshakable, and not because we're anything, not because I did anything. Remember, I was only told to go through the door. I went through the door into a spiritual realm. It was another dimension. I saw the invisible. Moses endured because he saw him who was invisible. Dreams cause us to see the invisible. Incidentally, I spoke this morning briefly. My friend Mina Lee Jones, she contacted me and said, after I shared my dream with her, she said, I had a dream and a friend of mine had a dream and we same night, which was last night, and we dreamed the exact same thing. I won't tell the dream, that's for her to tell, but it was incredibly prophetic. And also Melissa at Midnight Oil yesterday, she had two dreams in a row, which I'm going to add the link below. And she texted me first thing in the morning. She left a voice message and she said, I dreamed two dreams in a row. So they are so powerful about the rapture. You're going to have to hear her tell it. And by the way, I'm going to have Melissa on tomorrow and we're going to engage in fellowship. We're going to let the power of the Holy Spirit flow. And you know what I really feel to tell you guys right now? You know, I think a lot of us hold back things, you know, in our kind of tidy Christian world, but no more. When I experienced that today, I said to myself, the words of Oswald Chambers. He said, serve the Lord in reckless abandonment. And I thought, you know, there are things I've held back, things maybe I better be careful, this and that. And I'm no loose cannon. I know better at my age. But you know what I saw last night and what John saw last night, what Melissa saw the night before, what Mina and her friend saw is moving. God is moving among us and there is power on our side for the very end. And God, I believe, it's not just like, you know how you always hear these, God is about to do, God is through, you're going to see it come. He's doing it now. You know, God is doing it now. This is not an about to do. Get involved. Be part of it. Serve Christ with reckless abandonment, knowing it's the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Be valiant at the end. Run your race. Just run it. And do it knowing that the name of Jesus Christ is that name that the Father gave him, where every knee in heaven and of things on the earth and things under the earth shall bow. And we praise that great and awesome name. So start running your race and do it and pray to the Lord. Oh, one last thing. After I had my dream and I prayed, I was trying to read my Bible. I contacted a friend of mine. His name is Skip. I said, Skip, you got to hear this message. This dream God gave me. And he said, what time did you have it? I said, I woke up and I looked and it was 1:06. He goes, I was praying at 3:00 for you. And he said, I began to weep. And this man doesn't sob. He doesn't weep. Maybe in his own private time, and I don't know whether he does or not, but I know him. I've known him for 25 plus years. And he said, I began to weep, and I was saying, God, give Joni a dream. Give her dreams. Give her husband dreams. And that was during the time. So you see, be part of what God's doing. Be part of it. Do you want to be part of it? Then you're going to have to let go of the standard. You're going to have to walk away from the rubber ink stamp of commonality and be independent, run your race, ask God to fill you full of power and stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to sound right to people. You know, I'm going to leave you with a Puritan poem and it goes like this. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm. And dare to make it known. And I say dare to make it known to your family, to your friends, and to heaven above, and to the enemy below. And when you do that, you watch the power that will fill your life, and your countenance will be changed. And you will not only become as bold as a lion, your countenance will take on that of the men of Israel who joined themselves unto David's stronghold in the wilderness of Ziklag, whose faces were as bold as a lion. Amen. Claim the victory. Run your race. And hold that banner high. For a banner of truth has been given unto them that fear him, that it may be displayed because of his truth. And that banner shows the colors of our God and whose side you're on. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll see you tomorrow.